up these. It says like this. Then Shmona Shana Yoshi of the Malchol. We did everything about Yoshi beforehand. Yeah, we got up to this part.
My note says a couple
days. Okay. Yeah, I don't doubt you. Thank you so much, Eddie.
Good, here.
You get me on the way. You did?
Apparently you joined the club.
No, it's nothing I don't trust you. I trust you. What are you talking about? I'm glad we got all this on record. Here we go. Paragraph 8. Ben Shmona Shani Yoshiyahu b'malchol. Yoshiyahu was 8 years old when he became king. Shloshim Achas Shana Malchol Yerushalayim. He was king for 31 years in Yerushalayim. V'shem Imo Yedidya Yedida. I'm sorry. Bas Adoya Mibotkas. The daughter. Kavadoya Mibotkas. So her name was Yedida. I have an aunt Yedida. That's nice. Vayaseh Yosher Ben Hashem. He did good things in the eyes of Hashem. V'yelech b'chol Derech David. If he went in all the ways of David, his father. He did not go right or left. Now, let's go through a little bit over here, okay? These are the last kings of Yisrael. Ammon was king for only a few years, 2 years altogether. He was destroyed. He was absolutely evil. His son was only 8 years old when he became king. That's Yoshia. Yoshia has 4 kids. The problem with it is that we have no idea who those 4 kids are. We're going to see 4 names. They may somehow represent some of the other kings who are here. They may be children, grandchildren. We're not positive. We're going to get into that a little bit, but there's going to be...
Yeah, the next 4 kings as sons?
Yes, but we don't know who is who when it came to his sons. We also have the big kash about Sidkiah. There is Yoachaz, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Sidkiah. Okay, we're going to talk about all 4 of them, and all of them are going to be there. They're going to be here. The question is how related to Yoshia they are. So here we go. Yoshia means he was Ye'eh Shai. He was pleasant, Noeh, as a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Yoshia. Mayi, Peshmona Feshon Lamelech Yoshiahu, Pasuk Gimel says in the 18th year of the king Yoshia, the king sent Shaphan, who's known as a hyrax, and that would be the not kosher creature, right, that has one simon of Tara but does not have split hooves. I don't know why they called him that. Shaphan is really called the hyrax. It's more related to an elephant,
right,
than anything else.
So is that more like a goat? Or?
More like a little big rat.
Rabbit.
Yeah. Is it Shaphan? What about Arnevet?
Oh, Arnevet. Oh, wait, Shaphan's the other one.
Yeah, Shaphan's a hyrax. It should be the hyrax. Rock hyrax is usually what they call. Either way, I don't know why he was named that way, but this is not the only Shaphan throughout Tanakh. There are other Shaphans that we've seen. Aleo Kokio HaKohen HaGadol. Go up to Kokio the Kohen HaGadol. V'yakim as a keset hamuva beis Hashem. What I want you to do is I want you to make an accounting, I think, right? Account the money that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, also Shomer HaSaf Neitam, that they gathered, all the guards from the people. But you know all Yad Osei Malach, and you should give it over to the people who are doing the work. Mufkadim Beis Hashem, who are appointed in the house of Hashem. You know also the Osei Malach, you should give it to those people doing the work. Shuv Beis Hashem Lachazik Bedek Abayis, and they should strengthen the Bedek Abayis. Even though this had only been done 100 years earlier, but because of Menashe and because of Ammon, a lot of things in the Beis Hamikdash needed to be redone.
Also 100 years.
There was stuff that was destroyed. And you are right. You know it has been 100 years. So you wanted to build it up again. No, you're right. You're right.
They had no money anyways. It was given all away.
And most of the money was given away by Menashe. Yeah, Menashe lost a lot to Bavel. Lecharashim Labonim Lagodrim. No, remember he was captain. Lecharashim Labonim Lagodrim. There were people that were carpenters and builders. Gojrim were the fence guys. Lichnos Eitzens by wood. Abne Masid and quarried stones of Chazak as advice in order to strengthen the base of Mikdash. Lo Yekashiv Yitom HaKatav Nitan O Yodin Kibam Munei Mosim. And once again, they did not count the money that was given over to them because they trusted them and they worked in good faith. They did not actually go into it whatsoever. The box system was still around. Remember the whole Tzedakah box system that they had made earlier by the times of, I always forget who it was. Was it Yosam? I think it was Yosam. That they made of, maybe it may have been Yehoash. Right? But they did keep using the exact same thing. It's possible this is the start of a new Yovel, right? One of the last Yovels that they ever had. It does say that Yoshia was involved during the years of Yovel. How is there Yovel? You can only have Yovel if you have 12 tribes in Eretz Yisrael. It's possible that Yirmiyah brought back the 12 tribes. We don't know exactly what happened right at this point, right by Yoshia, and then they got lost, obviously, together with Yoshia a little bit later. We don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. Okay, there were also officials, there were supervisors to give, etc. Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol said to Shaphan HaSofer, Sefer HaTorah Matzasi, I found Sefer of the Torah. That's what I found in the Beis Hashem. Vayitin Chilkiyahu as a Sefer of Shaphan Yigrayu. So Chilkiyahu gave that Sefer to Shaphan, and he read from it. He read straight out from it. Now, it's clear that this is not referring. Okay, I don't want to say it's clear. Many Mefarshim say this cannot be a Sefer Torah, in which they didn't have a Sefer Torah up until now. Because number one, that would be, they would have said, he found Sefer Torah Matzasi. Sefer HaTorah Matzasi seems to be referring to a special Sefer. So the Rishonim say, and it was really mentioned by the Gemara itself, that it's referring to the original Sefer written by Moshe Rabbeinu. If we look at it in Divrei Yomim, it says straight out, HaKosta B'yad Moshe. That's what it says in Divrei Yomim. So we're referring to this special Sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or what had happened to that Sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu? It was hidden. Why was it hidden? Because the kings before him were evil. And they were worried about what they were going to do with it. So it was hidden completely. It no longer was put next to the Aron Kodesh, said nothing would happen to it. Remember, Menashe was erasing names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Sifrei Torah and writing in names of Avodah Zarah in its place before he had done Tshuva. If he would have done that to the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, invalidating the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, people were worried. So whoever was the Kohen Gadol at the time hid the Sefer Torah and then died, and no one knew what happened to it. No one had any clue what happened. Now, when they were doing all the work, they knocked down a certain wall, they found the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw that it was right over there.
That's what he read in his comments also.
Exactly. Exactly. That obviously wouldn't be straight. It would be strange. Well, if it was the only Sefer Torah to ever be found. But let's see what it says. The Yovel Shavna Sofer Elamel. Shavna Sofer brought to the king by Yoshev as a melech tavor. And he brought back a report to the king by Yomer. He tihu abadech of the kesef. Listen, we melted down the silver and his device that were found in the base of Benjamin. He knew all Yad Osei Malach. We gave it over to the Osei Malach and Mufkarim Beis Hashem. They were given over to the Beis Hashem. Now, notice that, right? Why didn't he say first, I found the Sefer Torah? I found the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, this is also typical. This showed that he wanted to say, I did what I was supposed to do. You sent me to do a job, the king, to pay the workers. I did my job if I paid the workers, so don't worry about being over on Baal Tolin or anything like that. And by the way, there was a Sefer given to me by Chokiyah Kohen that you could shuffle with the Amalek, and Shaphan read it in front of the king. The reason why it was so important to read it straight from the in front of the king is because it was open up to the Tokah of this week's Parsha. A Parsha Kisavo, they read out the Tokah of Parsha Kisavo and gave it this right now, but he said he gave it over to him, and he said, right, this is what we're reading, as he heard the words of the Sefer HaTorah, what the Sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu was open up to, all the Tokah and everything, he tore his clothing, completely. Now, there are machlokes involved. There is an opinion, I believe it's the Abarbanel, that says that there was a lot of confusion, right, regarding what happened. According to him, there was no Sefer Torah available in the entire nation, and all of the words of the written Torah were completely forgotten from Klal Yisrael. They still had Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they still learned Torah Sheba'al Peh, but it was lost by Achaz. Now the amazing part behind that is remember, Achaz, the father of Chizkiah. Chizkiah taught all of Bnei Yisrael, and they were experts in Tumah Tahara at the times of Chizkiah. So what's pshat? How do you understand? And they say, the way he understands it is that they were all learning Torah Sheba'al Peh, but they didn't have an actual Sefer of Torah Sheba Ksav. I'm only saying this, I'll be honest with you, I don't think this is pshat. I find it extremely hard to understand that this could ever be pshat, that they mamish lost the Sefer Torah for over 150 years in Klal Yisrael while still having Nevi'im and still having people like Chizkiah who was around him and Ashu did Tshuva. I find that extremely hard to believe. So, Achaz or Amon? Amon was just two.
Amon was right after Chizkiah.
No. Menashe, then Amon.
Right, that's what I meant. So he was only for two, but Menashe was 55.
55.
So 57 years of like...
This opinion is that Achaz lost the Sefer Torah, not Menashe. There is another opinion that's going to say Menashe, but this is from before Chizkiah, and that's what I'm saying. It's almost impossible for me to believe that in Chizkiah's time they didn't have a Sefer Torah.
All right, fine.
No, one Sefer Torah, yeah.
You look at the other opinion and say...
Oh, well, hold on. I'm going in this one first. This is the first one over here. It's possible, and this is what they understand, right? They reached great levels of piety and knowledge from Torah Sheba'al Peh, but the reading of the written Torah became a commandment that they couldn't do. Even the king in Hakel was not able to do it, and he couldn't even keep a Sefer Torah with him at all times, because there was no Sefer Torah for them to be able to have. But, however, the basic information was preserved in the oral tradition of Torah Sheba'al Peh, so when they finally found a Torah right over there, they realized, like, oh my gosh, this is it. The reason why I really don't like this shot. Okay, the reason why I really don't understand it as well is that you could very easily say that they made it up right there on the spot. but they just wrote up a sefer Torah right there on the spot. Now, granted, there would have been people there that said, how come we've never heard of this ever before? But that means that our sefer Torah would have no validity when it comes to, is this the actual words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that I cannot believe for the life of me, that all the great gedolim of all of our generations took a sefer Torah that could not be verified in theory because it was lost for 150 years. No matter how much Torah Shabbat they knew, it seems almost impossible to me that that could be so. To that, I find literally almost impossible. To say that maybe they had sefer Torah that they had to write by heart because they weren't sure, because they didn't have a sefer Torah in front of them to copy it from, maybe I can accept that. But to say that there was none, I just don't understand how that even could be a pshat. I don't get it. The other opinion is that it happened by the times of Menashe. If Menashe never did tshuva, and then Amo was evil after that, and they hid all the sefer Torahs, and all the sefer Torahs were completely gone, Yosha, in the first year of his reign, found a sefer Torah, and there could have been others, and other Nevi'im would have had it, like Yirmiyah would have had a sefer Torah, but he wouldn't bring it out because he was afraid it was going to get burned, so they hid all their sefer Torahs. Only once Yosha found the sefer Torah, brought it out, which he himself would have never seen, because he was living by the times of Amon and Menashe, he never would have seen it. He was shocked by it, and that was the idea. He said, I knew about this idea, but I never knew it was right there. But there still would have been Talmidei Chachamim and Klal Yisrael who had Sifrei Torah. They were just hiding it from Menashe and Amon. They didn't know what Yoshi was going to be like. They had no idea.
Good kings wrote their own Sifrei Torah.
They had to.
Right.
Yeah, but this was the opinion that Amon and Menashe had gotten around. Either way, that's that.
And the Kohanim for sure had their own Sifrei Torah.
Yeah, seemingly. You'd have to assume. Seemingly not according to this shot, but I would assume yes. But yes, I would say that. Okay, the other opinion is there's no question that these Torahs were still going around. There was a black market of Torah scrolls that were going throughout Klal Yisrael, and even when there were people like Amon or Achaz or possibly Menashe were going around, they always had a Torah around them. There were different Torah throughout, but this is the opinion that the Sefer Torah was rolled out to the Tochacha. And this is the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what made this one special.
Opinion that the Torah was lost, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. I believe it's the Abarbanel. I believe that's what it's going to be.
How does he hold in terms of what we have today? How do we know that it's accurate? According to the Barbanel.
I didn't see it inside.
Well, no, did you find
it? I don't think it's so bad. You had a person like Yoshia, and you had to tell me to come like Chokio Akoin, who was able to figure out. I don't find that as a problem.
They did find a Torah from Ezra Sofer's time. I think Ezra Sofer to the Rambam, they matched.
Is that true?
No, they're on Sova,
yeah,
which the Rambam saw, but that's a codex. It's like a book. That's written the entire Torah.
Either way, there's going to be number four. I don't believe that ever happened. I don't believe that ever happened. Number four, there is another thing over here where it says that the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had, right, was removed during the renovations, and it was only lost. It wasn't taken away by Amon or Menashe or Achaz or anything. Just this Sefer Torah had been lost for a few days or a few weeks or even a few months, and now they found where they had put it, that somebody had misplaced it, and now they ended up having it over here. The fifth one was that it was hidden for a long time during the times of Menashe, and for many years they had searched for it, and now they finally found it. Again, it seems to be very similar to number three and number four, but the basic idea is you have two pshatim in which all of them were lost, or people may have had it on the side, but the main Sefer Torah were lost. The last three are all, there was a Torah, but it was open to the Tocha, and that's what they were so shocked about. Either way, Yoshia expressed grief, he expressed fear over what was going on, knowing that they were very soon coming to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayitzav Melech Chizkiyahu HaKohen Ve'et Achikam Ben Shaphan. This seems to be Shaphan's son. Ve'et Achbor Ben Michya. I find this unbelievable. Achbor obviously is a reference to a mouse, which is an unbelievable name to name these people. That's Shaphan HaSofer, as well as Shaphan himself. Ve'et Asoya Eved HaMelech Lemor. He told them the following. Go search out for God. In other words, find Talmidei Chachamim, people who know what they're doing. For me, Adam, and for the people of Akol Yud, and for all the people of Yud, Al Dibrei HaSefer Hanim says that to find out what this sefer means, what this is referring to. It's clear that the wrath of God, the anger of God, is against us. It's raging against us because our fathers did not listen to the words of this sefer Torah to do what was written inside it. Clearly, that's why it was open to the Tocha. Clearly, our fathers have sinned before us. We can consider us maybe a tinuk shenishba. We had no idea, but it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us. Is going to punish us for what they did. They all went to Chulda HaNeviyah. Now, why did they go to Chulda? There were two other Neviyim at the time. There was Yirmiyah, and there was, I always forget the other one, Yirmiyah and Tzfanya. Yirmiyah and Tzfanya were around at the time. So why didn't they go to Yirmiyah and Tzfanya? The answer is because they thought a woman would have more mercy than a man. They didn't want to go to Yirmiyah because they knew what Yirmiyah was saying. Yirmiyah was going around saying, you're all going to die. You're all going to die. So, like, the last thing they want to say is, we found a Sefer Torah open to the Tokoko. What do you think it means? Yirmiyah's going to have a field day. That's what they thought. Tzfani, on the other hand, was also telling a harbinger of death, saying the base measures, although less harsh than Yirmiyah, but nonetheless, he wasn't having Rachamim on Klal Yisrael. He wasn't saying anything. Huldah had not been known for saying harsh prophecies. She was talking to the woman. She was saying, work on yourselves, bring yourselves up, etc. They went to Huldah specifically. Yes, Nevi'ah. She's one of the seven Nevi'ahs, and she's related to Yirmiyah, and that's why Yirmiyah was not insulted that they went to Huldah instead of Yirmiyah himself. Some say that Yirmiyah wasn't there because Yirmiyah was in the midst of bringing back the 10 lost tribes.
What's the reason they went to? I mean, at the end of the day, God is telling the Navi what to tell them, so how to interpret it?
These minds are sitting there, and exactly, these minds are sitting there, and they're saying, we're going to go to somebody who's going to interpret it for good. These people, although they're true Nevi'im, they're looking at things, and you can always spin it that way. As long as they're true Nevi'im, you can spin it well. It's sort of like a dream interpreter. A dream interpreter can interpret it badly, but if you go to the right person who knows how to spin it in the right way, they'll know what they're doing.
At the end of the day, I mean, Benyam is right. Like, the point is going to get... it's going to get told over.
But how is it said? Yeah, how is it said? I think that's what they were really... They had an idea what
they're
saying.
They'd be like, oh, it means like everything's great. You guys
you guys are all going to get...
Maybe
things
be
growing in your backyard. Here's what it says. Yeah, clearly that's not going to be... But either way, who was Huldah Nevi'ah? She was Ishes Shalom ben Tikva, the wife of Shalom ben Tikva ben Charchas. Shomer of the Gadim, he was the watcher of clothing. The Yosef of Yerushalayim, she lived in Yerushalayim, but Mishnah, around that area of Adabroi Lehel. So within one of the walls, and they spoke to her over here. Okay, Huldah was a descendant from Rachav Hazona. She was one of the descendants from Rachav Hazona. She was one of the, I don't remember if it was seven or eight, I think it was eight Nevi'im that came from Rachav Hazona. She was one of them. Oh, there we go. Yeah, the other seven were Baruch Ben Neriah, Saraya, Machsia, Yirmiyahu, Chilkiah, Hananel, and Shalom. They all came together. Saraya is also mentioned in Tanakh. But they're all going to be the seven that came from Rachav Hazona with Yoshua. Yeah, obviously with Yoshua, but obviously from girls. Shalom ben Tukva was a...
Were there only like seven Nevi'ahs?
Seven Nevi'ahs all together.
So
all together, yeah.
Or is there seven more coming from Rachav?
No, seven Nevi'ahs together with Huldah came from Rachav. There were seven Nevi'im all together. Shalom ben Tikva was a righteous man who was like tremendous in tzedakah. I'm sorry?
The Mishnah, I think, is like a base medrash. Because if you look at the Targum, it says the base Huldah.
Give me a second. There you go. Hold on. There are five explanations for what it is. Either refers to the second wall. There were two walls outside of Yerushalayim. Others say it means a base medrash, where she was teaching people. Others say it's referring to she was teaching Mishnayos. For sure, Pirkei Avos, not anything else, obviously. But that's that. That's three.
Four Mishnayos is even written. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I know. That's extremely impressive. Or whatever. Well, there were some Mishnayos written. You know, the famous line from Ezu Makoman. This is a very good bit of knowledge. The reason why we say Ezu Makoman is because nothing Ezu Makoman was a full amount of Mishnayos that they learned on Har Sinai. How do we know that? The Gra brings a raya. Because in Ezu Makoma, when you go through the Prakim, it says that they go in by, what's the wording? Kilayim, litnim mina kloim, which are the curtains. There were no curtains in either one of the base measures. It was a parochas. But the kloim was only in the Mishkan, which meant that that Mishnah was written in reference to the Mishkan, not in the base of Mikdash. So the Gra brings a raya.
They
would write it at the parochas or the wall. One of the two, because it was Amma Troxman. That would have been the second base of Mikdash. So you would have written that instead. Says the Gra, that's the Raya. But that's famous. The Ezum will come in. The reason why we do it in our davening in the morning is because it's Mishnah is straight from Moshe Ben Yitzchak. There's no Machlokas in. Straight out. There are other Machlokas. Like, for example, the Mishnah is in the beginning of Bava Kama. The first three Mishnahs are clearly not a Lashon of any Mishnah throughout all of Shas. The Loharei is different. It says Chav Hamazik. There's weird things about all three Mishnahs. And according to the Marshal, the Tzchias brings it on down in Daphe and Bava Kama. These Mishnahs came straight from Moshe.
I thought that they were straight up from that. Those that the ones in Bava Kama came from, that they were written later by the what's her name?
Yerushalminics?
The Gaonim.
No, you're talking about Kiddushin. The first Parak of Kiddushin, the Gemara, was written by the Gaonim instead of the Amorayim. That's a different issue altogether. First two and a half da. You know, Bezom and Aleph and parts of Gemara and Bez. What?
Probably on the first Parak.
Yeah, because the whole Parak is actually 40 da. That's true. Anyway, that was that. Others say that she was explaining all the laws that were mentioned twice in the Torah. As I said, Mishnah. Others say she was referring to... it was saying it's a reference to living in Yerushalayim, that the other two Nevi'im were not there. The Mishnah, the other two, were not in Yerushalayim at the time. Yirmiyah and Tzfani weren't there. They did go to So what did this guy, Shalom ben Tikva, do? He used to fill a large container with water, and anybody who was doing a Leil Regel, he would give them from that water. Anybody who was writing that, because of that merit, his wife was granted prophecy. Some say he was the one who was revived by touching the bones of Elisha. He was the one who was able to touch the bones. His son, their son was Hananel, who's going to be mentioned in Yirmiyah. He's one of them to be mentioned in Yirmiyah. The reason why they're them is because she was a Rachman. What?
Elisha died and the body was thrown in.
Correct. If you remember, that's what it's going to be. He was the one that was revived. Pasuk Tetzvav, guys. She said to them, this is what God says. This is crazy, isn't it? Say to the man that sent you to me, say to him the following. Notice, it does not say to the king, which is already a knockdown of Yosha. Yosha was 9 years old at the time, so he was very young. But it did not say that he's a king, because as of right now, he wasn't royal to be a king.
Why is it even calling him a man then? He's not a man.
You're right. He wasn't even the status of a man. That's actually a great call.
I don't know, he's 9 years old. Maybe he's a few years later.
This has to be, because she would not refer to him as
a king. You know what? Because that would be a great riot as to what it means when we say it would be a tremendous riot for something that would be, if you're trying to prove, right, that an Ish is somebody over the age of 13, to be a great rabbi, you could be under 13 and still be an Ish. They prove bar mitzvah from Levi, because Levi was 13 years old, right? That's where they prove it from. They all get it from Levi, because Levi was 13 years old when they did the whole thing in Shem. Maybe this would be a rabbi, but either way, maybe I'm going to bring evil upon this place. All Yosha and all the people living there, all the words of the Sefer that the king of Judah read, everything in the Tolkah is going to happen. Because they forsook me, and they burned to other gods, because they angered me and everything that they did. Therefore, my anger will wrath against them in this place and will not extinguish. And to the king of Yehuda, now he goes on, right, who sends to you to search for God, meaning if he's a guy who's just asking what's going to be, I'm telling you right now, destruction is going to be terrible. If it's a king of Yehuda who's sending to you to ask Hashem what to do, this is what you got to tell him. You heard these words that I just said. Because you're still, you know, soft of heart. You have lowered yourself in front of Hashem by hearing what I spoke about this place. Now, Yoshua and all the people that live, that it's going to be destroyed and cursed. If you tore your clothing when you heard these words, and you cried in front of me, I heard that, said God. I will let you die. You will be gathered to your grave in peace. I want you to remember that. Yoshia is promised that he will be gathered to his grave in peace. Your eyes will not see all the evil that happened to this place. Yeshua was a meltover, and they brought that back to the king, and that's all that. He was promised great reward, but the death, he was promised seemingly a really good death. We're going to see in the end, Yoshia did not die a good death. He died in war against the king Paro Necho. So we're going to have to retranslate that Nebuah and understand what that means exactly. What do you mean by that? Because of what he did later on.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, prophecy,
he promised a Nebuah. Yeah, Nebuah cannot change.
The good prophecy is that the Jews weren't going to be destroyed. At
that is
point.
Correct.
And he was brought back for burial.
That is correct. That's going to be the Shalom was going to be that his burial was going to be good, though his death was going to be bad, and that the people would not be destroyed when Paro Necho came up against them after Yoshia was killed. That's what's going to be over here.
What's Nebuah happening? Is it possible for it to change?
A good Nebuah, yes.
Bad Nebuah can always
be changed. Saying, yeah.
Even if the guy makes messes up completely, is it Nebuah?
Good Nebuah. The Nebuah never would have happened. But yes, you are correct. Right. A good Nebuah will never change. So the king immediately sent and gathered together all the kingdom of Judah and Yerushalayim. He didn't want to stop for anything. He said, this is what we got to do. But Yalom Melech Beis Hashem, the king went up to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the base of the whole Yeshua, the whole Yerushalayim, and all the men of Judah, and all the people of Yerushalayim, all with him. Kohanim and Levim, Kol Ha'am, and Mikatzim HaGadol, for all the Kohanim, all the prophets, all the people, from small until big. Vayikuvah's name is called the Sefer HaBris, and Himso Beis Hashem. He read in their ears all the words of the Sefer HaBris that he found in the base of Hashem. Now, this was Hakel. This is what Hakel was. He read out the Sefer HaBris, which refers to the bris that the Bnei Yisrael made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if they do good, good, and if they do bad, it's going to be bad for them. He read that out to them. He didn't wait. He called them right now and did Hakel with them. And that's a big kasha. Does the mitzvah of Hakel apply when you're doing it outside of Sukkot with the king, etc., when it's not like right there? That's a good kasha.
Normally,
it has to be the year after Shemitah. etc., is there a kiyum mitzvah, the mitzvah of hakel, when you're not there?
Really, like saying, oh, we're changing Shemitah to, we're going to make it earlier. Don't worry.
Now, clearly, Shemitah can't be done that way. The kasha is hakel absolutely required in the year after Shemitah? Or is that the minhag of what we do? Meaning, is that part of the deal rights or not? The sefer, the Minchas Chinuch speaks about this, whether this is a kiyum of hakel. If you get everybody in Klal Yisrael together and you read the Torah to them, is that a kiyum of hakel? Which really means, can you be mekayim the mitzvah of hakel by giving a large speech, like the Ben Ish Chai speaking in front of all Baghdad, getting all the people of Baghdad together and speaking the words of Torah and Musar, etc.? Is that considered a kiyum of this mitzvah or not? That's the kasha that you really ask. Is that a kiyum of this mitzvah?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Kasha is what hakel is all about.
But it's pretty specific. On the first sukkah after Shemitah, you come to the base of Midrash and the king reads the Torah. It seems to have a lot of
Let me give you an example. Right after that, we talk about the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah. We know that writing a sefer Torah can be mekayim by either writing notes on notes in your on a sefer or by buying a sefer Torah. Even though the pasuk clearly says you have to write a sefer Torah, and that's the
buy a sefer Torah. You're the sofer is a shliach, and you're paying him to do the mitzvah.
That would for sure work, yeah. But you can still be mekayim in many other ways. Buying svarim, writing up svarim, or even doing other things can be mekayim the mitzvah sefer Torah. It's not the actual mitzvah. It's more of like abizrayu the mitzvah, but nonetheless, it still counts. In a way, this could be hakel in a smaller form, and that's really the kasha.
The afkamina of this being hakel or not at the end of the day.
Not an afkamina. Just saying whether he's mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. Is this considered like hakel?
Maybe it was. This whole story happened.
We're going to see soon that it's not. I don't remember exactly why, but we'll see. Hopefully, I think I have an answer to that question. So the king stood on the pillar of Yichus, the bris with Hashem, and he made a bris in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lechzachar Hashem, to go after God. The Lishmor tells him to keep his mitzvah, that's the Devosav, and all of his laws, that's Hukosav, and everything he said, the whole way, the whole nefesh, they did with all their hearts and all their nefesh. Notice something, by the way? What are you missing? It doesn't say v'chol me'odecha. For the same reason why v'chayim shemoa, it does not say v'chol me'odechem. It says v'chol l'avchem v'chol me'avshechem. But it doesn't say v'chol me'odchem. Okay, you know why? Because you can't expect the rabbin, which is a Klal Yisrael, to all give up their money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An individual, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, an individual can do so. But to tell all of B'nai Yisrael to give up all of your money for HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not happen. You can't ask them to do that. You can ask them to all be Moser Nefesh. You can ask them to give up their whatever you want to say, b'chol levavcha mean. B'chol me'odecha won't happen. That's why we don't say b'chol me'odecha. It's an unbelievable little verse, but that's the idea behind it. That's why it says b'chol levavcha nafshecha for them. L'chokim is dibra versus those that they're going to establish the words of this verse, which is exactly Arur Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Azos, is the last of the 12 Arurim that are mentioned in Chamishi of this week's Parsha, right? Aksuvim Asifra Azeva Yamukol Ambabrit, and all the people accepted the covenant. They redid it again. They knew Tshuva was going to work. They were willing to be able to go, and they were able to do everything over here. They got up there. Now the kasha is, wait a second. If Huldah was the only prophet available, and that's the reason why they went to her, they didn't go to the other two Nevi'im, right? They didn't go to Yirmiyah, they didn't go to Tzfaniah because they weren't around. So what does it mean the Nevi'im came? I thought there was no other Navi here.
There's a house of
Nevi'im. So the kasha is maybe there were Nevi'im, but they weren't as great. Maybe the Nevi'im came back by this time.
Maybe,
or maybe it just refers to Tomei Chomet.
They were there, but they went to Huldah because of the reason we spoke about, that she's the...
She's more Rachmim, etc. No, yeah, that's the other answer. Right. According to the answer, that she was the only one there. That's the only person I'm asking on. The Amod, by the way, was a special platform that they made for the king. Normally, you're not allowed to have a platform in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim can't walk on it. They got to be standing on the ritzvah of the Beis HaMikdash itself, on the actual stone floor. However, right, you are allowed to make an amud like they used to do during the Simchas Beis Shoevos for the woman to stand on, so the woman didn't mix with the men. Right, there was something like that, and that was written in Sukkah toward the very, very end. And therefore, you can make one for the king as well. They did this in order for his voice to project. Remember, he's still a kid. So for his voice to project, they allowed this to happen. The king commanded Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol, that's Kohanim Mishnah, as well as the Kohanim that were secondary, in other words, some of them in their charge, that Shomrei Asaf and all the guards of the gate, to take out from the Hechel of Hashem all the kelim that were used for the Baal Me'asher L'chutz of Hashemayim and for all the hosts of the heavens. They burned them outside Yerushalayim, B'Shadmos Kidron, in the area, the plains of the Kidron, and they brought all of their ashes. ashes to Beis El. Interesting, right? Why Beis El? Wasn't Beis El a holy place? That was one of the places where the Mishkan was. So Beis El, after that point where the Mishkan was there, from that point on had been known as a place filled with Avodah Zarah. That was a place that was originally chosen by Yerubim ben Nevat, where he was going to start his new cult with the Egel Azov, the two Egel Azov. Although the Egel Azov was gone already, because it was taken away by what's his name? By Hoshea ben Ela. But nonetheless, still that place where the golden eagle was a place of terrible, a deviant mode of worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
We've seen in the past kalim that have been used for other nations, presumably for idol worship, being allowed to be used, taken into the base. What's the point of this? I mean, they could have just reused them.
What do you mean reuse? Reuse stuff that was used by Avodah Zarah?
Like they could have left them there. Kashered them, put them, throw them in the mix.
You can't do that by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, you can't do that. You have to destroy. You have a chiv to destroy any kalim, tashmishi Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but don't we see, haven't we seen in the past where they brought other things in?
Not tashmishi Avodah Zarah. No, not tashmishi Avodah Zarah. There are different parts. There's things that are used for the service of the Avodah Zarah, which is Asur Gomer. Then there are other things that might be used for the beautification of the Avodah Zarah, which might be Mutter. Those things can be used again. But anything that's used as a tashmish for Avodah Zarah is absolutely Asur. Even melting them down is not Mutter and changing them to something else. You cannot have anything that reminds you or allows you to think this is something that was once used for Avodah Zarah. That won't work whatsoever. So that's the reason why they have to destroy them. I would assume because the Mishkan was there. It was a holy city.
That's where he decided to do a vote of Zerman. Doesn't it not sense that someone...
We've talked about this before. It's hard to understand. But Beis El was... The Eglazov may not have been considered a vote of Zerman in that way. They might have considered it something a little bit different, like more of a form of worshiping God in a physical manifestation.
Eglazov was almost the exact same idea. God, I mean,
the way the Ramban learns it. Yeah, the way the Ramban learns it. So maybe that's the reason why, but I would assume that's the reason why. Pasuk Hey, the Hishvis is a Kmarin. So he destroyed all the idolatrous priests. Ashnasim Malchi Yehuda Yekata, that the kings of Yehuda had already appointed them. The Yekata Vabamos, and they burned incense on the Bamos Ba'ar Yehuda, Mesivi Yerushalayim, and all the surroundings of Yerushalayim, as the Makashan Labal, Lashemesh Layarech, Lamazol Zavol Tzav Shemayim, as well as all those who burned to Baal, the sun, the moon, all the constellations, all the hosts of the heavens. That's what it was. Why are they called Kmarin? Yeah, I never knew this before. The word kamar means black. They used to wear black clothes. It's like Haredim. Now, how are you? It's perfect. I don't know. I really don't. Oh, and you. Perfect, guys. You guys are perfect. I don't know, though, why it's specifically why kamar means black. I just don't know Hebrew well enough. Yeah, but why kamar? Kamar means black? Chof mem reish. That word means black? I've never heard that before. He's going to church. Yeah, the Baruch Hashem. That is that. Anyway, there were the five punishments. We'll talk about this a little bit later. They brought up the Asherah tree from the Beis HaMikdash. Again, remember, the Asherah was the female version of the Baal. Right? From outside Yerushalayim to Nachal Kidron. Yisrael sub in Nachal Kidron. They burned it in Nachal Kidron. Now, I don't know where Nachal Kidron is. Wadi of Kidron. I remember seeing signs for it when you leave Yerushalayim. Where is it?
Do you know where Avshalom, Yad Avshalom is?
Yes.
That's not what you're
doing. Really?
Yeah.
It's not so far.
It's
on the
right
east side of the Harbai.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I didn't realize.
It's on Harbai. They seem looking down. That's not what
you're doing. That's what it is. It's a wadi, though, right? There's no river there. There's nothing out there, right? It's just a wadi.
That's where the Bartanura is buried.
The Wadi of Bartanura?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't remember seeing it. I remember seeing the name. I just don't remember where I saw it. I always thought it was on the way outside Yerushalayim where I see the word Nachal Kidron. You know, like Nachal Sorek. Canaco, whatever. That's what I thought. All right, I must be wrong. I don't remember.
You cross road and you make a left instead of a right to go back.
That's where it would take you to. But Yodeklo, and don't do that. But Yodeklo for. It's the other side of your David, right?
If you keep going around, your David is on the south, and then you want to go to the east of Harbai. That's not what
you're doing. Part of the like, don't tell the administration I'm taking you here, but.
Of course they did. By Yodeklo 4, right, they crushed it into dust. By Yashak Safaro Kever Benea Om. And then they threw the dirt to the Kever Benea Om, toward the Kever of the members of his people. It was sort of like a disgrace.
These
people were disgraced by it.
A cemetery, then it's right there.
It would be perfect. Yeah, that's great. Now, he says about the accusation. They then demolished. Now, Balthikadation, the simple pshat is, this was houses of ill repute, that there were prostitution rings that were going on in Yerushalayim, and he destroyed all of those houses. Like, they should know the word kadesh can also refer to a monk, a person who uses kedusha in the wrong way. People that used to sit outside Yerushalayim and be on their own and do their own thing, who thought that they were being kadosh, but really were away from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the world. Hashem does not want us to be monks living outside from people, not getting married, etc. In that place, they had women weaving things for the house of the Asherah tree. That would go more with the prostitution ring that these people were there, but it could be that the monks were made up of men and women, and that's the idea behind it. But personally, I would understand it more as being a prostitution ring more than anything else. He destroyed those houses. You have this Korach on. I'm sorry?
Who was the Asherah?
It's a female version of the Baal idol. Yavis Kolak Wanami Ariyuda, he brought all the Kohanim from the cities of Yudah, Tamei the Bamos of Shirkitu Shama, he defiled, he made Tamei all the Bamos that they had burned down there, Hakohanim had burned. Geva ad Beersheba, from Geva all the way to Beersheba. Remember, Geva is in Binyamin, Geva of Binyamin, all the way to Beersheba, Beersheba is all the way down south. Not to the Bamos of Sha'arim, Asher Petah Shar Yoshua, and then he broke down the Bamos of the Sha'arim, the gates, by the door, the gate of Yoshua. Sarah Yeru is in charge of the city, is not Yoshua Ben Nun. Asher Smol Ish Bishara Ir. That was on a person's left when you entered inside the gates of the city themselves. Now, he called over the Kohanim. Many of the Kohanim were burning incense in all these different places, and they were doing all these different things. There were very few Kohanim left that were actually kosher to serve in the actual Beis HaMikdash. Most of the Kohanim were now Tame, and they could not serve because they had served Avodah Zarah. When you serve Avodah Zarah, you can no longer ever serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was it. They were done. There were so many Kohanim, they were just gone, and the hardest thing was that they were, you know, they was going up to the people and saying, "I'm sorry, but you can do nothing now."
Yes. They still have all the chumras of being Kohen, like.
Yes, they still had chumras and they couldn't marry a grusha. Yeah, they're machmer and everything, but they were allowed to eat truma.
Whoever had the most was a Kohen.
I don't think they have the status of a halal. I don't think so. In other words, their kids are not halal. But they themselves are possible from the other order. Right, that's the idea behind it. Okay. It will be like, it's like a coin that murders cannot do Berachos Kohanim, but his sons can. So he could do everything else, meaning he's allowed to do other things. I think he even was allowed to eat from the Lacham Apanim, in theory, or take Truma, but we don't do anything else.
Why wouldn't they just die when they go into the Kodesh Kedushin?
Why would they what?
Just die when they go into the Kodesh Kedushin.
Who?
The Kohanim.
What? Why would they go to the Kodesh? You think the idols were in the Kodesh Kedusha?
No, because, I mean, any person who worships the Bozer, they can't go to the Kodesh Kedusha, or else they just die.
Why would they go to the Kodesh Kedusha? Only the Kohen Gadol went to the Kodesh Kedusha. They asked Kokio was the Kohen Gadol.
Oh.
They wouldn't go in. Achlo Yavu Kohani Abamos on Mizbach Hashem Yerushalayim. Those Kohanim were not allowed to go on the Mizbach Hashem Yerushalayim came Achlo Matzos B'Sokachayim. But they were able to eat matzos. They were able to eat the Lechem Aponim, which was matzah, right along with everybody else. That's what they could do as long as they were not Tameh, but they couldn't do anything else. The team has So they were metame the topes. The topes was where Molech stood. Molech was there, and the reason why they call it topes is because they used to bang on the drums when they would lead the kids into Molech. So they would be. They were metame that area by Gay Ben Hinnom with Vilti Lahavir Ish as Benovez Bitova Ish Lamolech and Lamolech. That nobody would ever pass their sons and daughters through that fire in Molech ever again. Some say Ben Hinnom means Ben Hinnom, the son would cry as he was brought through to burn in Molech. As a side note, I had no idea they brought daughters through. I forgot about this pasuk. I have never seen that daughters went to Molech. I've always seen that it was the sons that went to Molech, but I had no idea. Now, the Gay Ben Hinnom, that valley of Ben Hinnom, is right outside the old city. When you come out of the old city, you go down where that road leads, out Sharash Boat, and you go down, you know, the road curves a little bit around the walls by the Armenian quarter, and then goes down, and then gets to a red light. Right, there's a red light right there, right, and then you can turn left and go around, or you can go to the right. On the left-hand side, there's a huge valley. There's a movie theater in that valley. That is where Molech was. That is the area where Molech was. That was the area that was known as Gay Ben Hinnom. It still is known in that way. You can see on signs Gay Ben Hinnom, the Valley of Ben Hinnom. The other side is Sultan's Pool.
Oh, okay,
on the right side.
Go underneath.
It goes the whole.
Sultan's Pool. Does it go underneath?
And then is the Artist Colony.
Because there's a street on top. Yeah. No, Sultan's Pool and the Artist Colony is on the other side of
the
street.
I think that's part of Gay Bend, you know?
But I don't think you can get there from one side to the other.
Yeah, no, you have to cross
the other
street.
Side. There's a mountain in between. There's a mountain in between. So that valley is known as Gay Bend, you know. Now, here's something unbelievable that I never knew until I read this over here. I knew this, but he didn't know this. The word Gehenna all stems from this Gay Bend, you know. This was a frightening place. It was a frightening place. It says where Gehenna was and the entrance to Gehenna, but it doesn't say that Gehenna actually came from the word Gay Bend, you know. This I didn't know, and you knew this, but the reason why is because it was a scary place where the Molech priests ruled. Nobody could go in there. They had power in that area. Power as in Kishuf or whatever it is, but they had power as in they did whatever they wanted there, and people would be scared out of their minds. They would just hear drums rolling, and they felt like that's what Gehenna must be like. And that's where they get the word from, as opposed to Gan Eden, right, which is a different issue, referencing, you know, the great place where there was a Garden of Eden where Adam Rishon was with Chava, etc. beforehand. They felt that that was the place where the souls of the dead suffer after death. But the actual name of Gehenna only comes from Gay Ben Hinnom. That is not a word used elsewhere to describe what will be in the afterlife for the punishment of those who need that punishment. I knew it and I didn't know it at the same time, and I'm glad that I found it over here. It says, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayashbeis Zasusim Asher Nosu Malchut Yehuda L'Shamash Mibo'Beis Hashem. He then discontinued using the horses that the kings of Judah dedicated to the sun from coming to the entrance of HaKadosh Baruch of the Beis HaMikdash, Alishkas Nisana Melech HaSaris, to the room of Nisana Melech, the minister. Apparently this is a certain area where they worship the sun, and they use that place in the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Parvarim, he was one of the fields, in the fields around there, and all the chariots that were used to worship the sun were also burned with fire. It says in Pasuk Yud Beis, and all the mizbechos that were on top of the upper story of Achaz, that the Malchim Yudah done, and the mizbechos that were made by Menashe and the two chasers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he crushed them. He then removed them. He threw their dirt into Nachal Kidron as well.
Why
those were still there?
Yeah.
Why were those still there?
Maybe he didn't realize. I think he really did.
I remember. Give me one second. That's the bumas are shopping in Yerushalayim, and all the bumas are around Yerushalayim. Asher mimin lahar mashkis on the right hand side of Har Zeisim. Asher bana Shlomo Melech Yisrael that Shlomo Melech had built. Remember, this is not Shlomo Melech, but his wives did. La Ashtores Shikut Sidonim to Ashtores, which was the god of Sidonim. La Kamosh Shikut Moav. La Milkom to Avas Bnei Amon. The king made sure to destroy them completely. Now, clearly, those were made by the wives. But the kasha is, holy cow, it has been 400 years since Shlomo Melech has become king. You mean no king has ever destroyed those mizbechos that were standing there?
Maybe they were.
How's that possible?
Nobody, even the people they're doing up arrows, it wasn't like something that was, oh, let's go use those. It was found disuse.
It's either number one, that they were absolutely not used whatsoever, or number two, that the earlier kings did not prevent the people from sacrificing outside the base of Mikdash, although they knew they should have. They allowed them to do it even on these mizbechos that were outside. Now, Chizkio did destroy many, many bamos, but there were some bamos that he just wasn't able to get to. He was going through all of Klal Yisrael trying to get them all, and he wasn't able to reach everything out there, and that's the reason why there were that. There were others that say that, simply put, the task was too great for them to attempt. So they had to be satisfied with discontinuing the actual worship of idols and some of the bamos and whatever it is, but they couldn't do everything. It was impossible. They tried, and Yoshua was the first person to really get it all down. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shivra's Matzevos, they cut down the Matzevos. Yichros Tasherim, they cut down the Asherim. Vayimaleis Makom Matzvos Adam. They filled their places in those areas with bones. They made grave sites there. Why was it so important to make a grave site? Because everyone, including Ovdei Avodah Zarah, respect graves. They would never use that area ever again for Avodah Zarah. And that's the reason why they were okay with it, meaning they never went back to those places. And even the Mizbech that was in Beis El, the Bama that was made by Rav Menavot, he was able to destroy that as well. But Yisrael was a Bama, he burned the Asherah that was there as well. And Dibra Yom continues. He went to Ephraim, he went to Menashe, he went to Shimon, he went to Naphtali. He destroyed all the idols in all the different places that were around there, and he'd gone around. Now, Yoshia was now old. This is definitely around the 18th fear of his reign, maybe even a little bit further. So Yoshiah turned, he saw the graves that were up there on top of the mountain. Yishak, but Yikatsak, some was Minakvarim, he took the bones from those graves. By Yisrov on his back, he burned them on those Mizbechos of Avodah Zarah. By Yitameu Kedvar Hashem, and he was Metame them, like the word of God, Shakara, Yisrael, Lema, Shakara, Zedvarim Eila, like the man of God had proclaimed years and years earlier. Okay, we learned.
The graves of the Avodah Zarah?
The graves of all the people who served by Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat was told by a Navi that in the days there would be a man named Yoshiah who's going to get up, become king, and he was going to burn all of their bones, and he was going to take them on top of that. Yes, that was mentioned in the Nevuah.
It was
all the way in the beginning, Malachim, wherever it was. Malachim, it must be Malachim Aleph. But wherever it was, they talked about it, and they said specifically it must be around Perek Yud Beis or Perek Yud Aleph. But it says that. Remember, that was the Navi who went in and told them that. And what happened to the Navi on the way back? He was told to leave immediately. Don't say anything to anyone. And then the false prophets went up to him and said, oh, come with me. You have to eat with me. God says you should eat with me. Some say he was a real prophet. Some say whatever it was. And then on the way back, he was eaten by a lion. That was the Nevuah that he said. He proclaimed that Yoshiah was going to sacrifice human bones on these vehicles. Yoshiah proclaimed. Yoshiah did it. Vayomer, Matzion Allah Zasheni Roet. He said, what is this tzion over here? What's this grave marker that I see over here? Vayomer Elam Nesetu Anshe Yira Kever. The people of the city said, Hakever Isha Lima Sherbam Yehuda. This is the kever of the man of God, of the Navi, that came from Yehuda. And he called out these things that you had just done. He said this is going to happen in Beis-El. He said, leave this man, don't move his bones. They let alone the bones of that Navi, the one who had come from the Shomron. Now the kash is how this story remained for the last 360-380 years. That's an amazing story to keep in the generations. What's this kever doing here? Oh yeah, that one. That's amazing that they were able to keep that in the family, and that's there. Also, you'd assume that this area was by the time place of Yerovam ben Nevat, right? So that means it was Malchus Yisrael, which means there weren't any Jews there. There were Kushim there. That doesn't even make any sense. Kusim, I'm sorry, I should say Kusim. There were Kusim there, not Kushim. Kusim, who were sitting there, and people from Ashur. What's going on? But they knew the story behind it, so maybe there was somebody there. Maybe they went to the prophet Yirmiyah. Who knows?
Plaque.
But it seems strange. I'm sorry?
There was a plaque. Here marks this.
He said Mahat Siyuna was. Yeah, maybe, you know what? Maybe there was something. Maybe there was something written down. Yeah, but did they have an actual plaque that said, here lies the man from Yehuda who said over this prophecy?
Well, no, they said his name, and everybody knew that he was one. They had the prophecies written down from Malachi Aleph.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. There are other opinions, by the way, that the tzion was that on one side of the grave there was grass and herbs growing and flowers and whatever, on the other side of the grave was dead ground. And so what's going on? They said, oh, that was the real Navi, and that was the fake Navi. That was the false Navi, you know, the guy who was lied. Either way, regardless, the God is called Bathia Bamas, but Ari Shomron, also that all the places where they had Bamos, and all the cities of Shomron, also Malchi Yisrael, the kings of Yisrael have done Lahachis, in order to be Lahachis. Hezer Yoshio removed them, Yaslam, Kahuam, Asim, also Bezel. He did them whatever he did and done in Bezel. But Yisbachus Kokwani, Abamas, Shomel, Yisbechos, he shechted the Kohanim of those Bamos there on the Yisbechos, the Yisrael, the Tatsmos, Adam, Alayim, Yashu, Yishalayim. He burned all of their bones upon them and returned to Yishalayim. Tell me, guys, is that Mutter?
No.
Why did Yoshio do it?
Well, I mean, obviously, yes.
Yo dragged the bones of Ahaz, not allowed to do that either.
It was
the fulfillment of a prophecy.
Correct. He before just took the bones of the dead and brought them on the altar, and that was just a feeling. And then he found out it was a Nevuah. That's when he took the Kohani Abamos, and then he went ahead and he said, you know what, I'm actually going to shock them and burn their bones in here. If that's the prophecy, then I'm going to be Mekayim that prophecy to the full
extent. Is that okay?
Yes, Yoshiah Paskin, yes. So yes, at the end of the day, we don't see him being killed for it. Let's call it that way. By Yitzav HaMelech Hezkola Am Lemor, the king commanded all the people saying, Asu Pesach Hashem Elokeichem, let's make a Pesach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we'll see for a Brisa Zeh, like it says over here, Kilon HaZek HaPesach HaZem Mimei HaShoftim. They had not made a Pesach like that, since it is the Shoftim HaShem 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 Just in the 18th year of the king Yoshiah, that's when this Pesach was made in Yerushalayim. I will tell you, again, there is no way they weren't keeping Pesach. There's no way. When somebody will say to you, see, they never kept Pesach for like 350 years. No way. There's no way. There's no way B'nai Yisrael weren't keeping. You mean to tell me that Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha didn't keep Pesach? Well, you mean to tell me that Yirmiah and Yechezkel and Yeshaya weren't keeping Pesach? No, there's no way. Yeah.
I don't think they never kept Pesach. There hasn't been a Pesach like this.
Beautiful. And that's the deal. It's not that there has never been a Pesach that they didn't keep Pesach. They kept Pesach. But they made a Pesach. Every Jew came to Yerushalayim. They all brought a Korban Pesach. Every Jew was involved in the Avodah going on in the Beis HaMikdash. That had never happened before and possibly never happened since then.
Well, no, the second Pesach.
I don't know if it happened since then. I don't know if they ever had a situation where everyone went. There was not one person who stayed away, and that's what it means over here. At all times, there were always the people who were into Avodah Zarah, whatever it was. At this time, there was no one who said no.
Maybe they're far away. Somebody who lives in Malchus Beis Yisrael.
Very good. Yeah, you're right. Those people wouldn't be able to make it. Here, everybody was around. He was able to get everybody to come and everything was there. The Gamaz, the Ovos, the Yodonim, Hatrafim, Hagilulim, Eskol, Shikutsim, Asher Nirba, Erz, Yudav, Yerushalayim. All, you know, Ovi Yodoni. Ovi is the bone that you put underneath your armpit and talk to the dead. Yodoni is the bone underneath your tongue. Trafim were firstborn sons that were sacrificed. Their heads were put on the wall. They put candles around them. They took up Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they put it inside its mouth on a golden little plate. And he's able to speak. Lovin had one of those. The idols, Shikutsim, are disgusting. There's Janir Barat Yudah that were in the land of Yudah and Yerushalayim. But here, Yoshio, Laman, Hakim, is Divrei Torah, Ksuvim, HaSefer, Asher Matzah, Hilkiyahu, HaKohen, Beis Hashem, in order to establish the words of the Torah that were written in the Sefer that Hilkiyahu, HaKohen, had found in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was never a king before him who had done tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of his heart and all of his soul, Vachom Meldo, and with all of his money. Kikol Torah, by the way, do you notice that, by the way? Kikol Torah, Moshe, like all the written in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and after him there was nobody like him. The point is that no one ever sinned like him. He was a person who was mamash atinuk shenishba, who knew absolutely nothing and returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of his heart and soul like nobody who had ever done before. That's the idea of what he was. He did tshuva for the things that he had done unwittingly. Yeah, how could he have any idea? I'm sorry,
he did a better tshuva than David did with Moshe.
It's different because David Melech's tshuva, he was a great gadol,
yeah,
and did something which was a taiva. This is Yoshia had no idea what to do and literally brought himself to become this massive Talmud Chacham. Brought himself back.
It was a national skill. He brought everybody back. That was a personal thing.
Yeah, that's a good call also. Very good call. Yeah, that's 100% true. So too, you want to hear something crazy? The whole Meldo, you know what he did? Yoshia had judged cases before he knew the laws of the Torah. When he looked back at the laws of the Torah and realized what he had messed up on, he called back every case that he had in his ledger and he gave back the money to each side. Meaning whoever won, he let him keep the money, and whoever lost, he paid him the money that he had caused him to pay, because he did not judge them according to the law of the Torah, but rather the law that he thought in his own head. That's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable Gemara in and of itself. But that's that. He helped everyone. He guided the nation. The idea behind what he was a real king. He was a pious man and meticulous. Extremely great in his observance of Torah. Although he had a different excellence. Chizkiyahu was greatest in his trust of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We said Yosef was the biggest chassid. He excelled in his observance of the Torah, being meticulous in every single dikduka mitzvah. That's what he was supposed to do. Now, ach lo shav Hashem echarnapo agado, but God still did not return from his great wrath, asher charapo b'Yehuda, kol ha'kahosam asher echizol ma'ash Menashe, and all the angry things that Menashe had done. Vayomer Hashem gam es Yehuda asir me'al panai, Yehuda, I'm going to remove from my face, kasher asirosi es Yisrael, like I removed Bnei Yisrael. Ma'ati es erazos eshavachati es Yerushalayim es abayis shramati yashmi sham. And I also have despised this city that I had chosen, Yerushalayim, and the house that I said that my name should be there. I despise it. I don't like it anymore. Meaning it's all bad.
You punished the previous generation. But if everyone did teshuva,
not all of those that he had led astray were willing to repent along with the Yoshia. That's the reason why. Not everybody was sincere. They did it because they saw that that's who the person in charge right now, and that's that. But Menashe was so great, and what Amon did, etc., they reverted back to their old ways, and people just, slowly but surely. Pesach was awesome. Every member passed out. That was an awesome Pesach. You remember we were there, and the next day it was just sort of like... So... Remember that? I don't know. Wait, so back to normal.
It seemed, I mean, he just
not everyone.
All of the avodah.
Not everyone. Not everyone. People got around. But let's finish up this parak. The rest of Yoshua, everything he did is written in Sefer Divrei Yamin, and that's that. The Yom of Ola Paranecho, Al Chazal say in Divrei Yamin, or Divrei Yamin, the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamin, he still realized that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. He took all of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, including the Aron Kodesh, including the Tzitzenes Aman, the little bit of the Makil of Aaron, the Sefer Torah of Moshe, and he was Gonias them. He put them deep, deep underneath the Beis HaMikdash, under one of the catacombs in the Beis HaMikdash, and he hid them so that they were no longer there for the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. The Yom of Ola Paranecho, Melech Mitzrayim, Melech Ashur, now Pras. During his days, Paranecho, the king of Egypt, he came upon the king of Assyria by the Euphrates River. The king Yoshia came out to greet him in the field of Megiddo, Kirososo, and he killed him in Megiddo when he saw him. Now, what happened was because of this. Yoshia died because not of his own sin, because of the sins of the people. He understood when Paranecho came up to him and gave him a message and said, I want to go to your land in order to fight Ashur. I'm not fighting you. I don't want to have anything to do with you, he said to the king of Israel. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I just want to go through your land in order to get to the river Euphrates. Yoshia said, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that when good things are happening, you're doing the right thing, then there won't even be a cherub shel shalom going through your nation. In a cherub shel shalom, there will be no sword, even of peace, that goes to your nation. He said, that applies right now. And therefore, Paranecho can't go to my nation. What he didn't know is that the people were starting to worship idols again. And therefore, it wasn't a time where everything was all good, and therefore a sword of what's it called was able to go through. Paranecho told him, you're wrong, right? And if you fight against me, I'm going to kill you. King Yoshia didn't listen. He went out against Paranecho. The archers shot. They shot King Yoshia. He was nailed by a bunch of whatever. And Yirmiah lamented over Yoshia. He went over to Yoshia right when Yoshia was dying because Yoshia's lips were moving. He wanted to hear what he was saying. And he heard him say, Tzadiku Hashem kifio marisi. Kadosh Baruch Hu was correct. I rebelled against his word. And Yirmiah then lamented and gave the famous kina, which Ashkenazim say on Tisha B'Av, the famous Vayikonim Yirmiyahu al Yoshia. Right? That's the famous one over there.
Why is the end of Moitah?
I'm sorry?
Moitah.
No, Moitah didn't have to be, but I don't even know where. I'll say at the end of the day, by the way, that had Yoshia consulted Yirmiyah, everything would have been okay. He decided this on his own, and he was a big posik by this time. Nonetheless, it was wrong. Had he consulted with Yirmiyahu, everything would have been perfectly fine. The reason why Paranecho was called Paro the Lame One is because he was the one who sat on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, tried to sit on it at least, and was kicked off. And that was a major problem. He became lame from what had happened. All right, I think we're going to have to stop at this. It's unfortunate.
Right. Voice is from all the